Welcome to another episode of Central Texarkana Podcast. We are glad that you're here with us today. We pray this episode will serve to edify you in your walk with Christ this week. And we're just so glad that you're here to join us. Let's get started this morning. Well, good morning again, Joshua. We are here early, and which I mean, this is, you get more done if you get up early anyway. Yeah. So I love it.
It's quiet.
It's quiet. Yes.
There's no interruptions. It's still dark outside.
Yes. And as much as I enjoy getting a full night's sleep, I kind of like being sitting in my recliner,
yeah,
reading scripture while it's still dark and
everybody else is still asleep.
Yeah.
You know, it's peaceful. You know, there's not any interruptions.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. I mean, I get it. And I'm right there with you. I value that too.
And, you know, we're sitting in this room. We might hear a train go by or a garbage truck or something, but I don't know if these microphones pick that up.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
you know, I
don't know that they will, but
I'm real excited about the topic that we're talking about this morning.
Me
and,
too.
You know, it's something that's real heavy on your heart that, you know, and I'm throwing it more your direction this morning because this is in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So
today's topic is about worship in the church, and it's going to be, we're going to steer this more toward a biblical basis for our worship. And obviously, you know, there are tons of psalms that talk about it. There's, you go back into the Kings and Chronicles and the accounts of David and the worship that David led. And all the psalms and songs and things that David wrote, that were a part of the worship of the Israelite people, mm-hmm, on a daily basis. And so we certainly gain quite a bit of information and instruction, from the Old Testament. But I want to focus us today on the New Testament and Paul's instruction to the Colossian church. And I've written about this already in a newsletter article. But this particular passage in Colossians 3, to me, completely applies to and exemplifies what we desire here at Central.
Yeah.
And that is worship that is tied to and based in the Word of God on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And so Colossians 3, Paul here is talking to the Colossian church. And if you remember my newsletter article, which I then turned into a blog post, Paul at the beginning of this chapter is talking about putting on the new self. And he talks about, first of all, if we've been raised with Christ to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And, you know, it's important that we do that. And it's important that we do that on Sunday morning as we gather together, to try to get rid of the distractions that we might have, and to focus our efforts on the worship of God and giving Him praise for all the things that He's done for us, from the simple blessing of waking up that morning to, you know, being so thankful and grateful for our salvation and what God has done for us through that, through Jesus Christ. and his sacrifice for us. But Paul then goes on to talk about things to put away. Anger, malice, envy, you know, any kind of sexual immorality. All these things, Paul says, put these things away.
Mm-hmm.
Do away with them in your life. And as you begin to focus more on him and on the things above, you will have an easier time. Maybe I shouldn't say you will have an easier time putting those things away, but you will be more in tune to putting those things away as you focus on Christ.
Yeah.
But then Paul gets to verse 12 of chapter 3, and he's talked about putting away things in our lives that are sin, but then he tells us, starting in verse 12, what to put on. And so I just want to read through chapter 3, verse 17. I'm going to start in verse 12. And Paul says, put on then as God's chosen ones. Again, here we have that word, chosen. Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. These are the things we're putting on. We're putting on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And isn't that what we do on Sunday mornings?
Mm-hmm.
We come together with hearts filled with love, hopefully, for each other, with kindness, with meekness, humility, patience. We exhibit all of these things on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
When we gather together, I believe. And then verse 14, and above all these things, put on love.
Hmm.
Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
Yeah.
And then verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Mm-hmm. And if that's not a perfect picture of what our Sunday morning time in the sanctuary, worshiping our Savior and our God.
Yes.
I don't know anywhere else in Scripture that so completely describes what I feel like and believe a Sunday morning worship service should be about.
Yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly.
And that passage right there.
You know, to me, it starts, as you pointed out, to me, it starts at the beginning of the chapter when it says, since you've been raised with Christ,
mm-hmm.
Worship is for those who have been raised with Christ.
Amen. And I was about to kind of go there. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you are not saved, you cannot worship.
You can't.
Who you don't
it's,
know.
It's impossible. You can't do it. Yeah. You don't know. You're not in relationship with it.
Yeah.
And it says... What's interesting there, and I'm so glad you pointed it out that way and you took us all the way back to the beginning of the chapter, because as you've also written, you know, that frames all this out.
Yeah.
It says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the hand of God. Set your minds.
Yes.
On things above. And, you know, one of the ways to, you know, to kill, you know, to put worship to death is to set our minds on ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and to come into a worship service weighed down on matters that are not eternal.
Right.
And to me, that is a real important thing to point out for worship, because down here where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, mm-hmm. and forgive me if I'm taking us too far, too fast.
No, you're fine.
But let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that goes together with the beginning of this chapter. And because you can't set your mind on things above, you know, you can't set your mind on Christ. You know, you can't do that if the word of Christ is not dwelling in you richly.
Right.
We come in here and we worship a God we know, not a God we don't know.
Right.
We worship a God we know. And how do we know him? We know him by the word of God.
God's word, yeah.
And so I'm so thankful, again, for the third time to you for what you have brought out right here, because it's reminded me personally, you know, that we worship in spirit and truth.
Right. John 4:24.
And we can't separate those things.
Right. And I understand, you know, we all come to church on Sunday with various things in our lives that weigh us down. You know, things going on at home or at work, or, you know,
even with other people in the church.
Even with other people in
whatever.
The church. And we need to be prepared on Sunday mornings when we walk in there to lay all that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Lay the distractions to the side and be focused on our Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
During that period of time. So I hope today, as we discuss this, we're at 12 minutes already, that we can kind of bring everything into a focus and understand. I hope people will be able to further understand why I do some of the things I do during worship, or I plan things the way I do, because, back in the day in the 90s and early 2000s, when I was doing this on a more full-time basis, it was all about, you know, it was the seeker sensitive model. Basically,
right.
we were trying to gain new people in our services. And that's not to say I went so far as, you know, smoke and lights and all that kind of stuff. Well, it mostly didn't exist in church at that time, but singing more contemporary songs,
mm-hmm.
Many of which that were not necessarily based in scripture very well, not doing as much hymnody, all in an effort to appeal to people to bring them in.
Right.
And what I have learned in the last 5 years is you don't need to appeal to, if you're having to appeal to people to bring them in, then I'm not so sure God is in your church the way he needs to be.
Hmm.
Because we see evidence throughout scripture, God is the one who brings the increase in anything.
Right.
And when we try to manufacture that increase through how we do our music, how we do our worship, and I need to fix that in a minute, because I have a problem with that as well in some ways, but how we do our music, in an attempt to get music to bring people into the church, that is not a biblical situation.
Right.
And to kind of go where I kind of don't like to go, to me, worship, yes, music is a part of worship. And you might have heard me, if you're listening to this, talk about the musical part of our worship and use that phrase. Because to me, the whole thing is our worship. Every scripture we read, every prayer that is uttered, every sermon that is preached, every offering that is taken, everything that is said during that time that we call the worship service is a part of and is our worship.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, the connotation out there or of worship nowadays is just singing and music. And that's not all it is. It is the entirety of everything that we do on a Sunday morning. That is worship.
But wouldn't you agree, Corey? I know you agree because we've talked about it. It's not mindless.
No, your mind.
It's you know, we should be engaged with our minds.
Yes.
In this, and you know, I was sharing with you before we got on here this morning that, you know, it's like, you know, emotional response, you know, mm-hmm. and. You know, I have emotional response in worship. I had emotional response just a couple of weeks ago. But I will tell you that the emotional response that I was having in worship was rooted in the theology mm-hmm. and what the scripture was saying to me through that song. Music certainly plays a role. I don't want to take away from that.
No.
And I don't think we just need to have a cappella services with no instruments or something like that. I think instruments are important to what we do.
Well, David used instruments. So we have biblical precedent for using instruments.
And we have people in our church that have gifts to play those instruments, and we want them to be able to use those gifts. And we're blessed by them every week. But the emotional response and all of that, the music never takes over the scripture. The scripture is always top priority.
Right.
In worship, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
And hopefully whatever response there is, it's driven by the text, not by anything else.
Yeah. And if our people have learned nothing about me in the last couple of months so far, it's that I love a big key change.
mm-hmm,
and you know, getting there's nothing greater to me. Well, I mean, there might be things greater, but in a musical setting, a big key change into the last verse of a grand hymn.
Yeah.
Man, if I had a full organ and, you know, timpani and all these orchestras, like, I would be in hog heaven.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great thing to me. I love that. But, you know.
And I love that you love that.
But as I said, I need to make sure that I don't allow that to be the be all end all of what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of us singing either vertically to each other or horizontally to God in our worship. I mean, by the way, there needs to be both in a worship service. Because that's part of edification. That's a part of building each other up. And a lot of our hymns, especially the older ones, are very good at expressing the horizontal. As we seek to sing, we're singing to the Lord, we're singing to God in all of it, but at the same time, we are edifying each other by the words that we sing, by the lyrics, as expressed through the one who wrote those. As they were responding to God and as they were expressing, you know, that desire to build each other. When we sing victory in Jesus, we're singing to each other about that victory that we have through Christ.
Right.
And so I do want people to understand, yes, we want to sing our praises directly to God, but we also, in some of the songs that we sing, are singing to each other as well. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's an important aspect that's often overlooked, especially in the church today, Church Universal, where we have all these other things that go on. But anyway, the idea here is definitely as we get in Colossians 3 and we get to verse 16, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And here's where that horizontal comes in, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And he continues with the singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we have this idea in Scripture of the horizontal within worship as well. Teaching and admonishing one another.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sing, we do that.
Right.
And so that's a very important aspect to think about. And that goes along with engaging our minds as yeah. well. And all those put-ons from the first part of this passage.
Yeah.
It's all involved. It all goes together.
You know, if you go to verse 15, to me, that's a big part of it too. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And be thankful.
Yeah.
And then verse 16, let the word of Christ. So let the peace of Christ and let the word of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that word let.
That's that connective tissue.
Yeah, it's that connective tissue again. Why does he, you know, I think places where the word of God says let, you know, it's like where he said in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled.
Right.
To me, that goes along with this even.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the reason it says let is because we have a choice to let or not let. I think when we come into a worship service, I believe that our focus is on the Scripture or it's not focused on the Scripture.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is dwelling in us richly or that's not the case. Something else is the peace of Christ is what's ruling our hearts or the enemy has cast an obstruction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the breakdown, Corey.
Yeah.
And worship is an enemy that brings a distraction into the heart of a Christian that can, you know, because the enemy wants to get the Christian. And if I need a correction here, you tell me, because like I said, this is your wheelhouse. But what I get from the Word of God is that there is an enemy that wants to get my focus somewhere else other
right.
than on God.
On the cares of the
world. On the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, he wants me to get into the cares of the world.
Yeah.
And he wants me to get in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can stay focused on me.
What am I
getting? Whether it be what I'm getting, what I like.
Yeah.
If I can throw down a beat to get my foot to tapping.
Right.
You know, and you know, just let the music take over my soul, you know, or something like that. If I can get the service somehow focused on me or focused on other people.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, or even a non-existent, made up God that is not the God of the Bible.
Right.
Or a Holy Spirit that is not the Holy Spirit of Scripture.
Right.
A Jesus Christ that I have taken, formulated based on my own desires. The enemy, if he can get us focused on any of those.
He's won.
He's won in the worship service.
Mm-hmm.
And as a pastor, as one that has the responsibility to get up and preach. Yeah, I remember learning early on in ministry that worship was crucial.
Yeah.
That the singing portion of the service was crucial to the preaching portion of the service.
Yeah.
And you know what I've learned, Corey? I've learned that there's truth in that. I've learned that if you have a singing, some music service that is all built around getting people into their feelings,
mm-hmm.
that if you get up there and you preach to engage the mind,
it's going to be hard.
Then it's going to be hard to yeah. do that, and the two are going to clash.
Yeah.
If it, you know, so if you have a song service that is built around feelings, then you end up to make full use of that with a preaching service to built around feelings, and you have a seeker sensitive service altogether. But
yeah.
if you have a worship service that engages the mind, that includes music.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have preaching that is designed to engage the mind.
Yeah. We can then we're where we're supposed to be. Yeah,
brother.
We come a whole lot closer to, you know, Paul says to imitate me as I imitate Christ. We come a whole lot closer to Colossians 3.
Yes.
When we do all that, because like you said early on, Paul tells us set our minds on things above, you know, and then you have Romans 12 that talks about the renewal of the mind. Every time we come to church, we should be renewing our minds.
Absolutely.
And I think worship and singing in the worship service is a big part of that.
Go and look and examine the Word of God as it relates to engaging the mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, the mind is crucial. It is so important.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, that's where we learn the Word. This is how we know God.
Yeah.
And how we know God and how we understand God shapes our worship.
Mm-hmm. And I just hope and I pray that, and it's like I wrote in the article, that when we gather together, my prayer, my hope is that I have chosen songs, A, that are appropriate for us, B, that are scripturally sound, as sound as I can find,
sure.
As we can sing, and that we are, like you said, we are not only engaging our minds, but we are engaging our hearts as well.
Yeah.
Because and like you said, there is a certain emotional element. It's going to happen regardless because of the nature of music. But God also created music.
Yeah, he did.
He created everything.
That's right.
And so we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
And the music is important. But it can't be the most important.
Right.
The focus on scripture and on scriptural lyrics has to be what's important.
You know, that's what I appreciate so much about what you have done in the last couple of months is like as we've been in Ephesians,
mm-hmm.
The music that we have been, the songs we have been singing that you have chosen.
Right.
We're singing Ephesians.
Yeah.
Now, I love that.
Yeah.
We're singing Ephesians. And you know what else I appreciate so much is our piano player.
Oh, yeah. Farrah does a great job.
She will contact me.
Uh-huh.
You know, she last week when we did the preview
mm-hmm.
for the first time on the sermon that we were going to be in for Ephesians chapter 2, 6 through 10 last week.
Mm-hmm.
She went and listened to that.
Yeah.
And then she, for the offertory, she picked a particular song
that was
in line with what the message was going to be about.
The lyrics were the exact text of the passage.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I adore her heart. I'm blessed immensely by the time that she takes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was really neat last Sunday, you know, when she did that. And she does that a lot to try to keep the service in line with itself. She doesn't
all the way
be,
through. All
she
the
doesn't
way to
want
the
it to be a distraction.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, can I read a quote
from
you know, we don't really get into a whole lot of books outside the Bible. Well, I mean we do, but I mean as far as like quotes and you know, focusing our attention on them per se. But there is one that was introduced to me at the seminary, at the BMA Theological Seminary, not this past semester, but the semester before. And Dr. Holmes gave it to me. It's Worship Reformed According to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
By Hughes, Oliphant, Old, and I recommend this book to anybody that wants to study worship. And but I I read this quote to you earlier, and we talked about it, and I'd like to share this. It says, "This then is the first characteristic of Reformed worship. It is worship that is according to Scripture. The Reformers did not mean by this a sort of biblical pounding literalism," which I think that's an important note, you know, because people mm-hmm. have the tendency to go to an extreme.
Right.
Although they have often been accused of this, much more they had in mind that Christian worship should be in obedience to God's word as it is revealed in Holy Scripture.
Right.
I mean, it's that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's what we try to accomplish every time we come together, to be in obedience to the word of God as we sing with and to each other, as we pray together, as we read scripture together. I love so much that we have added that element into our services of reading the scripture together each and every week now. I think that's so important because you really scripturally are instructed to combine all of these elements together mm-hmm. as you meet with each other.
Yeah.
And when you don't have all of that, you're not in obedience to God's word.
Right.
As it relates to a New Testament church meeting together to worship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, those are things to think about. Yeah. If you're out there in the world listening to this by some chance, I pray that you take this, some of the things that we've said today, but most of all, I pray that you plan worship services that are in obedience to God's word.
Yeah.
And as scripturally sound as you can possibly make them.
Right.
With God's help as you plan each and every week. Well, brother, we're at 32 minutes.
Yeah, it's time to wrap it up. If I can, before I just give it to you to send us out of here, excuse me, I just want to make sure and recognize the work that and the service that you bring to the table in our worship. Very thankful for you, Corey, and leading us in worship every week and in our song service and things. And very grateful to Kelly, your wife, your lovely bride. Also Julie Farrell, very thankful to my wife, Stephanie. And for the Sundays that they get up there.
Right.
And alongside you, they lead us in music.
Definitely.
And song. And I'm very grateful for Farrah, and I'm very grateful for Kathy when they step in sometimes together to play the piano.
Those are always fun.
That's always such a blessing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm very thankful and excited to see Shelby.
Yes.
And up there playing. And you know, if any of you folks have made it to the end of this podcast.
And we
hope you have. I just want to make sure that you know how appreciated you are and how loved you are and what a blessing that you are.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because I've been meaning to. I was going to try to mention that today, and it slipped my mind. But I'm glad that you brought that up because we are very, very thankful for those that help us in the music ministry and
the ones that do, Corey. You know, all those that we've just mentioned. They have a love for the Lord and a love for His word.
Yes, they do.
And it shows in their service to the body.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I can overemphasize the blessing that each of you are. And Corey.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and it's my joy and privilege to stand up every week and help you lead the worship service as we gather together each week. But so thank you. And thank all of you for being with us today and listening and hearing us rattle on about things. But you know, we enjoy this rattling.
Yeah, we do. And, we could do it for a whole lot longer than this, folks.
We
I
definitely
promise.
Could. But I pray that you all have a great week, and we will see you on Sunday as we study God's Word together, as we sing together, and as we worship the God of all creation together. Y'all have a great week. Thanks for listening.